do appreciate this, David.
Forget it, Kate.
Well, you've got a lot more important things to do than taxing me home.
I can't think of one.
Isabel says Dad wants to talk to me before he comes to the park to make his speech.
Well, Faye's covering the crowd with camera and tape recorder. I don't have a thing to do until the speeches begin. Besides, I like taxiing you.
It's a beautiful day.
Yeah, it's great for a picnic. Or just doing nothing.
What?
I wish it were going to be a better one for you.
I'll be okay, David. Once I get Dad to that platform, we've got less than 30 minutes.
Well, take your time. They'll wait for him. After all, he is the town's number one citizen.
David, I hope they'll be kind to him.
They love the man.
But when he starts dedicating that memorial to Tom, talking about how wonderful his son was, when they all know...
I wish Arthur Wakefield would give you the chance to forget all that, Kate. You married Tom, but you didn't marry the whole family.
Oh... Sometimes I think I did.
To change the subject, that guy you were talking to in the park...
Anthony Cushing, we met him at the airport with Isabel, remember?
Sure, I remember. What's he doing up here?
I have no idea. Here we are, David.
Yeah.
And there's Dad on the porch. Well, he seems all right. Oh. He's such a proud, stubborn man.
Kate.
What?
No, forget it. I'll wait here in the car. Just signal when you're ready to leave.
Love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Mrs. Duval.
Oh, for heaven's sake, I don't believe it.
Anthony Cushing, flight 308 last week from Paris.
Well, of course. I never forget an attractive man. What on earth are you, of all people, doing in Bellhaven?
Oh, I like bicentennials.
How nice we have one for you.
A lot of people show up for this?
The whole town. By coincidence, you haven't seen my niece, Kate, yet.
By coincidence, I have. Uh-huh. Then she went off with that determined fellow I met at the airport with her.
David Sloan.
Yes, yes. Mm.
Well, I'm afraid that's my fault. My brother Arthur is speaking at the ceremonies today, and at this moment he's indulging in a well-known Wakefield strong-mindedness. He won't leave the house without seeing Kate first.
I can't blame him for that.
So, am I to guess what brought you to Bellhaven today?
Well, I understand this town was once the center of the horse collar industry.
Mr. Cushing, the last horse collar was made in Bellhaven 78 years ago by my grandfather.
All right. I confess. I'm here on a whim.
Well, that's something I can understand.
I thought you would.
But you're not going to find her by looking over my shoulder.
Oh, caught. I beg your pardon.
Well, she'll be driving with Arthur to the rear of the platform. There's a ramp there for his wheelchair. You know, he had a stroke.
Oh, no, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, 3 years ago, when his only son, Tom, died. It was very sad. The boy disappointed him and all of us. In fact, the only good thing Tom Wakefield did, in my opinion, was to marry Kate. Wasn't too happy for her.
No, I should think not.
But she stood up to it without bitterness. She's quite unspoiled.
Will she be sitting with you?
No. She'll be up on the platform.
Oh.
Arthur insists on that. Well, why don't you sit with me, if you're staying?
Oh, well, I'd love to, but...
You have other plans?
Well, a young lady with red hair and a camera asked me...
Oh, yeah. Well, that's Faye. Well, if you want your name and picture all over the Bellhaven Dispatch
tomorrow... Good heavens, no.
Well, I'll leave you to solve your own social problems, Mr. Cushing. Would you care to join us after the speeches for lunch?
Why, that's very kind.
I'll look for you. Just promise not to be too charming.
Of course I'm ready. I've been ready since 10 o'clock. Sit down, Catherine.
Oh, we really haven't time.
Who was that who drove you back here?
David.
Well, he'll wait. Sit down, Catherine. I must say, Harry's kept that lawn in good condition this season. I wish I could be out there with him.
What is this about, Dad?
Oh, damnation. There goes my bell again.
You won't need it. I'm going to be with you today.
Thank you. Please don't be impatient, Catherine. When I'm ready to go to the park, I'll go. I've got something I want to say first. And it isn't easy. I was disappointed in you, Kate.
I know.
I thought you at least would stand with me. Thought you would agree with me when I wanted to dedicate those 600 acres to Tom's memory. A living memorial to my son. As I wanted to remember him.
I couldn't, Dad. I didn't believe anyone else would remember him that way. I thought the awful talk would begin again.
And you were right.
Dad.
I thought about it. All last night. This morning. You were right, Catherine. And I've been wrong.
Has something happened?
No. No, it was something that girl said. That newspaper girl. The red-haired one who came to get a copy of my speech.
She said something about Tom.
She thought the memorial was a wonderful idea. She remembered Tom. He was such a good dancer. A good dancer. That's all.
Oh, Dad.
It was the eagerness in her face, in her eyes, the way she looked at Tom's picture. I gave her that, too.
What else did she say?
Nothing. But I couldn't forget that look. As if she were waiting for the talk to start, for the whole shameful story to begin again. I knew it was there, just behind her smile.
I see.
If it was there in that girl who knew Tom at school, it would be there in all of them. All of them waiting for me in the park now.
Oh, Dad. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. This is what I wanted to save you from.
You can't, Catherine. Tom did what he did. And it was my fault, too. But I can't live it down alone. There'll be no memorial.
You won't make a speech.
Oh, yes. I announced that I was giving that land to the town, and I will. But not in Tom's name. Kate?
Yes?
Now I'm going to tell you something. I've never told another soul. Tom was not evil.
I know that.
He was not even weak. He was strong and beautiful. Someone set out to destroy my son as surely as if he had pointed a gun at Tom's head.
Oh, no, Dad.
Oh, yes. And someday, the truth will come out. I hope God lets me live long enough to hear it. Well, tell that young man of yours to give me a hand. I don't want to be late for my public.
Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Van Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day. The longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Van Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Van Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Van Roll-On, so economical yet so effective.
The following is a paid dramatization.
Keep practicing, children. Hi, this is the kindergarten, and I'm the teacher, though sometimes I feel like a child here myself. I'm 31 and 3/4. But a few weeks ago, Roland Gibbs drew my picture and gave me a big, crazy mop head, a gray one. At the last gray hair count, I only had 11. But he got to me. I showed the darling picture to Roland's mother, and we had a chuckle. Ho-ho. I told her I'd thought about coloring my hair, but I liked my natural brown and hated the idea of peroxide. She said use Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. There's a shade just like your own color, and it has no peroxide. So I did. I covered my grays and fooled the whole class, even Roland. And Loving Care made my hair shinier and softer than before. Okay, giggle faces. Ready and...
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This is the Serial Network. Authors Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Authors Studio is brought to you by the Ositer Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Ladies, you may be sure that your author, myself, William Makepeace Thackeray, has missed you sorely since last we met. So eager am I to progress our story, my resourceful imagination has been tirelessly at work to lead you through the labyrinths of Vanity Fair. Now, if you please, picture to yourselves Miss Amelia Sedley arriving home from boarding school, bringing with her for a visit Miss Rebecca Sharp. Two prettier young creatures will not be found in all of London in this year of our Lord, 1813. In the huge hall of the Sedley townhouse, Amelia's mother embraces her only daughter with tears of joy.
My darling Pennykins, my precious lamb, home for good.
I'm so glad, Mama. School grew hateful before I left.
And this is your friend Rebecca. Miss Sharp, welcome to our modest home.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. It would have broke my heart to part with Emmy.
Then you know how my heart has cracked and splintered these years she's been from us.
Mama, we must go to our room and tidy up. The drive was so dusty.
Oh, and no, darling girl, I can't bear to lose sight of you so soon. Do let me look at you a little. Oh, dear me, you are dusty and blown about. Go then and... Oh, no, wait. Have you and Rebecca been quarreling with Joseph already?
No, Mama.
He came rushing into the house after he met your carriage, stammering so I couldn't understand a word he said.
What did you quarrel about?
We didn't. The sweetest child. I'm surprised you have harsh words with a brother you've hardly seen during 10 whole years.
Oh, no, Mrs. Sedley.
He's a dear boy, even if he's plump as a dumpling since returning from India. Darlingest Amelia, speak up. Tell Mama all that was said, so I may try and put it right.
If you'd but listen.
I am listening, pet. I stand here waiting. Speak, or I shall be very cross your very first day in your home, where we've missed you so sorely. Yes, yes.
Mama, we did not have words with Jose. He was all fuddled and nervous from meeting Rebecca.
Now, to be sure, I should have known. And no wonder you're so pretty, Rebecca.
Oh, you're so kind to say so. It's true that Mr.
And my Joseph's so shy, all a flutter when a young lady is... Oh, but he'll be better when he grows accustomed. Amelia, precious, your father will be home soon. He didn't know the time of your arrival. Rebecca, you'll find Joseph's papa is not shy. Indeed, I sometimes wish he was more like... We should dine at 7 or 5,
Mama.
And cook us out the finest turbot in Billingsgate for dinner.
Mama.
I do hope you'll enjoy your stay here,
Mother.
Rebecca. Amelia, do not interrupt us most impolite.
But Joe said he was dining out.
A respectful daughter does not ever... Well, he's no such thing. I bought a curry for him. Curry, Rebecca, is served almost every meal in India. And Joseph's quite ready to... I'm certain the reason he said he dined elsewhere was shyness, when the appearance of a young lady frightens him beyond measure. I shall see to it that he... Amelia, dear child, why do you not go upstairs and tidy your hair? This shocking disarray. Why?
We're going, Mama. We're going this minute. Come, Becky.
Samuel already has put your trunks in your pinnikin. Rebecca's to sleep in the trundle bed. She... Oh, dear. Joseph? Joseph?
Ladies, pray do not blame me that Mrs. Sedley rarely pauses to draw breath and seldom completes a sentence. Should there be those among you having the same unfortunate habits, perhaps you will have heard yourself in that waterfall of words and reform. And perhaps not.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But a no-seeder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. O-Cedar Angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
O-Cedar makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Nice town. O-Cedar makes your life easier.
We are rid of Mrs. Sed, as her husband calls her, and may now attend Amelia and Rebecca, who've hardly uttered a syllable thus far. Let us go, then, to Emmy's pretty pink room.
Oh, Emmy, Emmy, to think I shall sleep in such a heaven as this. I've never, never laid down to sleep except in an attic.
Never, Becky, not ever. Well, surely somewhere.
Where? When I lived with my father, it was a studio, to be sure, with a skylight for his painting, but a garret studio. And after he died, where have I been but at Miss Pinkerton's wretched school? And where was I bedded? In the attic where the servants slept. But now, now, I cannot wait to go to bed.
And you shan't sleep in the trundle. I will. And you'll have the four-post feather bed and curtains to draw if you like.
Oh, it's wicked of me, but I won't say no. I can't. What will your mother say?
Oh, Mama has very much to say of everything you can't but have noticed. But she'll not say anything of this, for only my maid comes in to wake me.
You've a maid all your very own?
Why, yes.
Of course. You see, I forgot what I've read in books about how people like the Sedleys live. Where is she? Won't she help you dress?
If I ring.
Oh, ring?
Not yet. I want first to talk to you about my brother.
Oh?
Becky, do forgive how Joe's behaved. So impolite, such wretched manners. How he did rush into the house. Except he can't rush, being fat as a partridge.
Oh, now don't speak so of Mr. Joseph. He is large. But I found him a fine figure of a man.
Did you, Beck?
Oh, well, I told you, I'm partial to large men. Perhaps because... Oh, yes, you see, my darling papa was large like Mr. Joseph.
Oh.
Amelia, will he like me, do you think?
How could he not?
Oh, fiddlestick, so easy not to. Your jewel case. Dare I peep inside?
If you like. Miss Pink never allowed us jewels at school, so I never had it there.
Oh, look, a dear little key. Turn, open... Oh, bracelets, rings, brooches, pearls for a princess.
Becky, you shall have a carnelian ring. I too, and one is for you.
Oh, no, I couldn't.
You can. It's done. There, put it on.
No.
Shall we quarrel before your visit begins?
Oh, I don't think it will begin. I think I'm leaving this very moment.
Becky, what have I done?
You have been so kind and so good, I can't bear it. If I stay here, I shall be so spoiled and so hate to leave, to be a governess. I should go to Sir Pitt Crawley now and be a governess.
Becky, darling, Becky, don't cry. You don't truly mean you're going.
Well, I don't think I can ever go, but I can't stay. We have to part.
I don't want you ever to go either.
But you know I must, though... I expect your brother will be glad, for he won't ever really like what Miss Pinkerton called a gutter snipe.
You're not. I won't have you talk that way. And it's not true of Joe's. He'll love you. I know he will.
Love me? Me? You want me to stay forever? Oh, no. Soon he'll marry. Give no thought to Becky Sharp.
Becky, I've thought of something wonderful. Do you truly like Joe's?
I've said so.
Oh.
Why, you're all a flutter. What is it, Emma?
If you were my sister, you'd never have to go off to Sir Pitt.
But, Emmy, I'm not your sister. Sister-in-law.
Yes.
Amelia.
You can't win him, Becky. Will you try? Will you?
I can't put my mind to such a thing so sudden, but well. Yes, all right. I'll think on it. Oh, dear Emily. Oh, now you've gone and been so kind again, you've made me cry again.
Becky, Becky, wangled Amelia into saying what you intended all along. Try to marry Elephantine Jones. And your father, miss, was slim as a new peeled stick. Downstairs, poor Tubby Joseph, berated by his mother, has no notion of what is plotted upstairs. Ladies, I shall be quite bereft if you're not with me tomorrow to learn. Ah, but you must come back to learn. I am, you know I am, your most obedient servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On Antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On Antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On Antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Studio has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This is a Serial Network.
I think a woman's place is in the home.
I think you are pretty old-fashioned.
Well, maybe I am, but that's the way I feel.
They only need somebody at the store for a week or so.
Well, that's what you said last summer, and you worked a month or more.
Well, you didn't say anything last summer. In fact, you seemed delighted that I was enjoying myself.
I didn't say anything because I thought you'd get it out of your system.
Get what out of my system?
Oh, you know perfectly well what I mean. Actually, I think I made a mistake last summer. I should have said something. Apparently, you got something into your system.
I did. A little excitement. You know, I'm not a miserable, unhappy woman. I love you. I love keeping house, but it does get lonely. The children aren't little anymore. They're gone most of the time. I talk to the dog. I talk to the cat. I talk to my plants. But dogs and cats and African violets do not talk back.
Well, your girlfriends are dropping in here all the time, and you have your bridge club and your women's club and the
garden. Not the same thing. Dear, I never meet any really new people, you know, which is fun.
Well, I'm meeting so-called new people all the time, and I don't find it fun. Frankly, I can't wait to get home at night.
You don't really understand at all, do you?
I understand one thing. I'm fed up with women's lib.
Well, I'm not fed up with it because I haven't paid much attention until now. Maybe it's time I started getting involved.
Ah, oh, please, let's eat.
Eat what?
Dinner.
I mean, started it.
Well, it's 6:30.
It is. Well, I haven't even thought about it. I don't even know what we're going to have.
Well, there, you see? That's what I mean.
Look, I didn't get to see this Mr. Edwards until late, and I thought I was just going to work in the boutique, but when he said their decorator was sick, and I'd get to do all the windows, I was so excited. Well, we got to talking about, you know, I didn't get home until late.
I like to walk in the door and see you getting dinner.
That's really the crux of the matter, isn't it?
What?
I've heard you say many times that you are all for equal rights for women, But actually, you aren't really, are you?
I certainly am. Economically, yes. If a woman can do a job as well as a man, I certainly think she deserves equal pay. I have always said men and women should be treated as equals.
In what way should they be treated as equals?
Well, in every way. Equal opportunities, equal pay.
Equal responsibility?
Yes.
Then why don't you get dinner? You can cook, dear. You use every pot and pan in the kitchen, but you can cook. Now, I'll get dinner 3 days a week. You get dinner the other. And the seventh day, we'll get it together.
Now, listen, I work hard all week long at the office to support you. I work 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, most of the time more than 8 hours.
I work hard 7 days a week, and usually about 12 hours a day. By the time the dinner dishes are done, and then sometimes there's laundry to fold and put away or some mending to do. You know, I'm just realizing that when you've sounded off so passionately about equal rights for women, when it gets down to you personally, you're not for equal rights at all. I mean, if we're equal, then I shouldn't have to ask you about taking the job. I should just tell you. I mean, do you see what I mean?
No, you don't see what I mean.
Well,
even with rising costs, I'm still making enough money to support us. You don't need the job.
Yeah, well, maybe I do. Maybe I, emotionally. Maybe I do. As the kids say these days, maybe I need to express myself, to discover the real me. Maybe I'd like something on my tombstone besides she kept a clean house.
Oh, I never found you had any trouble expressing yourself.
Oh, honey, why are you so stubborn? Let me work for just a week or two.
Well, why are you asking me? Why don't you just tell me?
Well, I don't want you to get mad. Mm-hmm. I mean, I want your approval. But if I were really a woman's liver, I wouldn't care whether I had your approval or not. Well, that implies I'm your inferior, your slave.
Now, wait a minute. Look, what in the world have you been reading lately?
Well, Ms. Magazine, for one thing, and I've seen three women on TV interview shows whose husbands acted just like you're acting, and you know what they did? What the women did?
No. They went out and got jobs anyhow?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I know.
They walked out, left the husband with the house and the children, and they got a divorce and started life with a new career.
Is that what you have in mind?
No. I'd never do that. Never. I don't think.
You don't think you would?
No, I don't think I would.
Look, sweetheart, all this women's lib stuff has nothing to do with us.
It doesn't?
No, not really.
Well, somewhere along the line it does. If you believe, as you say, in equal rights and equal responsibilities, why don't you get our dinner tonight?
Okay, I will.
Yeah?
All right, I will.
All right. I'll just sit and read the paper the way you always do.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. What'll I fix?
Well, what to have for dinner is always a problem. That's your problem tonight.
Well, you always ask me, usually in the morning, just after I've had breakfast and can't even think of food.
All right, I know. And I'll answer just what you do. Anything. Anything you cook will be fine. Just fine.
Okay. You don't think I can do it, do you? I know what you're thinking. Ah, oh, that poor slob. He's going out.
No, I'd never call you a slob. I hate that word.
All right. That poor guy is going out to the kitchen and fry up some hamburgers and open up a can of peas.
Did you speak to me, dear? I'm reading the paper.
Ooh, okay. Look, I am going to surprise you. Just remember, the best cooks in the world have always been men. Oscar of the Waldorf.
Fanny Farmer. Julia Child.
Never mind. Just start working up an appetite. I shall be serving you a feast fit for the gods. Come on, admit it. Be a good sport and admit it. You didn't really think your husband could turn out a gourmet meal like this, did you?
No, frankly, I didn't, dear.
You surprised?
Overwhelmed is more the word.
You haven't said very much after all my slaving in the kitchen.
Well, I'm sorry. I fell asleep waiting. Guess I've been a little dopey.
It's my fault. It took a little longer than I thought.
It's all right. For goodness sakes, they eat dinner in Spain at 11 o'clock.
Oh, it's not quite that late. Oh, I guess it is.
That doesn't matter.
Well, can I hear some compliments for the chef?
Honey, I told you.
No, you didn't. You said shrimp cocktail. Wow. And then you said Hungarian goulash. Good heavens. And then asparagus tip and Caesar salad. I mean, all you've done is just say the menu.
Well, it's all been delicious. Really, it has. Where'd you get strawberries?
In the refrigerator. Why?
Well, nothing.
What's the matter?
No, nothing.
No, something is wrong. I thought you'd be pleased I was able to serve you something besides hamburgers. I'll tell you something else. I really enjoyed it. And don't get annoyed, because I know it's different when you have to cook dinner every night, but it really is fun cooking. You know what I think is wrong when women get tired of cooking?
No, tell me.
Women should be more adventurous, mm-hmm. experiment more, try something new each day.
Mm-hmm.
Look, honey, I'll make a deal with you. If you won't take that job, I will get dinner every night for 1 month. Now, try me out.
If you got dinner every night, I'd have to get a job. We couldn't afford it. This should be just a little weekday meal. Now, you use things I've saved for something special. Like your boss and his wife coming for dinner.
What?
And why that package of large shrimp. Darn, that's over $6 a pound. You gave us each four. The meat you used for Hungarian goulash was beef tenderloin. Beef tenderloin.
Well, it was nice and tender.
Well, it better be. It cost $8.50. And it was for beef stroganoff when the Bradleys come. That's his favorite. For goulash, dear, you get chuck or you get round, you know. Something cheaper that gets tender when you cook it.
Oh. Well, I saw it there, so I didn't know. And
well, asparagus is expensive. Avocados are expensive and fattening. You put my anchovies in the salad. I mean, everything is delicious, dear, but we can't afford to eat like this for every day.
No, I guess not.
Honey, you really don't know how to run a house, do you?
No. That's why I don't want you to take a job. I'll admit it. I'm helpless.
Oh, you're not helpless. Look at the dinner tonight. Joni said men pretend to be helpless. And it's true. If I'm frantic because people are coming and ask you to vacuum, you always say, where is the vacuum?
Well, you're always moving things around.
The vacuum has always been in the same broom closet. The one time you did the laundry, you put in a red bath towel, and all our underwear came out a bright pink.
You see, I need you. I can't do without you. I'm stupid.
No. You're not stupid. You're very bright, and you'll learn quickly. Now, this weekend, we'll clean the house together so you know where things are, so you learn how to organize housework.
I think getting such a great dinner tonight was my big mistake.
I think it was a big step forward.
No, not for me. I was going fishing Saturday, not scrub floors.
Well, you help me Saturday, and then Sunday we'll both go fishing. And right now, we will both do dishes.
Oh, terrific.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night. And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
The Little Things in Life with Peg Lynch and Bob Dryden was written by Peg Lynch and directed by Warren Somerville. And has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. I'm Charles Woods. This is the Serial Network.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do.
And he folds up like a wet accordion.
Oh, Bess, come on, huh?
You want to call it a day, Mary?
Okay.
You guys play singles. We'll watch the battle of the midgets. Susie.
Oh, hi, Betsy.
Why didn't you give a yell? So bright out there, I couldn't see you under the awning.
I knew you'd have to come this way when you were through playing.
You could have played if you wanted to, like an hour ago. I feel about 30 years old. What you been doing?
I swam a couple of lengths and got out. You know, the water is so warm, it doesn't even feel wet.
I know the feeling. You just saved me a lot of bother.
I meant, what'd you do for the weekend? I got offered a babysitting job Saturday. $2 an hour because of Saturday night. Last night, I didn't do anything.
Was the sitting job worth it?
The Gleasons.
Oh, he's only got one kid and he sleeps all the time.
Well, he slept all the time I was there. From 6 till 11.
Then your weekend was exactly $10 better than mine.
Your father told my father you and your mother took off. But nobody told me where.
Did you ever hear of a place called Towering Rock?
No.
You're a very fortunate customer. Towering Rock is sort of an oversized motel built around, guess what?
Towering Rock?
You named it. Would you believe the big thrill of the day is going out to see the sunset behind a rock, all of 5 stories tall? After that, the day sort of goes downhill. Some holiday resort.
Weren't there any boys?
Oh, sure. There were busboys in the dining room, ball boys on the tennis courts, and lifesaver-type boys on duty at the pool when they weren't admiring each other's muscles. All the rest was parents and their daughters looking for boys.
That sounds crummy.
Why do you think we came home today? Even my mother thought home was better.
How about you? You've been pretty down the last couple of weeks.
If I needed a change, Towering Rock wasn't it.
How come you and your mother went alone?
Maybe she and Dad had a fight. I don't know. There was one thing that happened. Well, probably didn't mean anything.
What happened?
It doesn't matter, but I don't think they had one of their big fights. But something's wrong. I knew that as soon as we got home.
How come?
It's all jive. How was your bachelor weekend, dear?
Oh, lonely, but I'm glad you two had the chance to get away for a couple days.
I mean, they're not for real. Mm. Sort of like there was a war on, but somebody yelled ceasefire. An armed truce, you know?
Yeah, I know.
How are things at your house?
We didn't do anything.
How are things with your mother?
Okay.
Did she apologize?
For what?
What do you mean, for what? You and two other people told me she hit you right in the mouth.
She slapped me, and not in the mouth.
All right, it was in the middle of Schultz's drugstore. What does it matter where she hit you?
Look, Betts, if I hadn't been so mad about it, I never would have mentioned it to you. Don't take advantage.
Who's taking advantage? All I asked you was how things were at your house. You told me about what happened, and I'm your best friend. Why shouldn't I ask? Cool it, will you?
Okay, I'm sorry.
If you don't want to tell me, don't.
Nothing's to tell. Nothing's happened.
I mean, she hasn't even mentioned it?
No.
I don't get it. If my mother did something like that to me, she'd play it one way or the other. She'd cry a lot and tell me she just wasn't herself right that minute, whatever that means. Mm. Or she'd give me about 18 reasons why the whole thing was my fault. And she hasn't said anything?
Not yet. Oh, she will, Bets. I know she will. But just for now, it's sort of like at your house. An armed truce.
Who needs it? You want to stay at our house tonight? I can get my mother to invite you.
Thanks. I guess I'll go home. Maybe tonight she'll say something.
Julie, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Oh, poor kid.
5 minutes, Claude.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh, even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can. With Finalmet. Finalmet is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Finalmet holds up longer than you do.
Every woman likes to know she's the best she can be, so take a little time out for yourself, your looks, and especially for great-looking hair. Great-looking hair comes easily with Natural Wear Miss Clairol Hair Color. Choose from 2-person formulas. Shampoo formula or conditioning formula is the easy way to get fresh, young color. Extra-rich cream formula is the one hairdressers use, because no laboratory today has found a better way to cover gray. Shampoo formula or cream formula, try Natural Wear Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
Oh, Susie. You startled me.
I'm sorry, Mother.
Did you find Betsy?
Uh-huh, she was playing tennis, just like her mother said.
Ah. And how was the game?
I decided not to play. It was really too hot.
Hmm. Well, would you like something cold to drink, honey? I mixed up some frozen lemonade.
Oh, fine. Oh, don't bother. I can get it myself.
How was Betsy's weekend?
Crummy. Well, at least that's what she said. Maybe she didn't want to make me feel bad.
No.
Is there anything you want me to do?
Well, do you feel like peeling some peaches?
Okay.
You can use that knife on the sink. And here's a bowl.
Do you mind if I do it outside, Mother? It's kind of hot in here.
Well, honey, I can close the door and put on the air conditioning if... Okay, whatever you like. Susie?
Yes? What is it?
Thanks for volunteering, honey.
You're welcome.
What's the matter with me? If I had just said I'm sorry, she'd have known what I meant.
Hi, Dolly.
Oh, Jason. Hello, dear.
Hi. How was your day?
Oh, quiet. You really put in banker's hours, didn't you?
Oh, yes, I did indeed.
Well, it's good to see you put in less than 10 hours once in a while.
Well, tomorrow, everything will be back to normal.
Hmm. At the hospital, at any rate.
Well, that's pretty cryptic.
Oh, I didn't mean to be. Would you like some lemonade, dear?
Oh, no, thanks.
Anything else? There's plenty of time for a cocktail before dinner.
Now, all I'd like is an explanation. You sound as if something important is not back to normal. Now, what is it, Em?
What do you think is the matter?
Susie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. Haven't you been able to patch things up?
Jason, I wasn't even able to try.
What happened to
her? Nothing. I was that close to being able to talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
To make some kind of an apology, and then I just dried up.
Oh, darling. Come here.
Oh, Susie's the one you should be holding.
Well, I'll be happy to hold her, too.
Oh, Jason. How can I ask her to forgive me when there just is no excuse for what I did to her?
I think there is.
For slapping her?
Mm-hmm.
For humiliating her in front of her friends?
Just tell her the truth, darling.
Oh.
Susie's never been one to hold grudges. Now she'll understand.
What do you think the truth is?
That you haven't really been yourself for quite a while.
Oh, that isn't so. Well, I admit I've been under a lot of pressure.
Well, no, that's putting it mildly, darling.
You can't make a whole diagnosis out of one isolated incident.
I am not trying to. Now, we both know the diagnosis has to be made by someone else.
Charlie Ransom.
Mm-hmm. He should be in charge. He's been taking care of you for the last 15 years.
What do you mean, in charge? Are we talking about a whole team of doctors?
Darling, you need a complete physical workup. Now, Charlie's a general practitioner and a damn good one. But he can't do the job alone.
I am not going to check into the hospital and let a whole bunch of residents decide whether or not I have their favorite disease.
Emily, please be reasonable.
In fact, I am not going to check into your hospital under any circumstances. You can't force me out of my home, Jason, so you can stop trying.
Emily. Yeah. Look at your hand.
What about it?
It's shaking.
I can see that.
Has that been happening often?
Maybe. My hand is shaking because I'm angry and because I'm tired. I'm tired of you and Robert and Angela all pushing at me. If you'll all just leave me alone, I'll be just fine. I know I will. Just leave me alone.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less? To Have and to Hold has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This is the Serial Network, a division of DCA Productions.